Well, like much of Latin America, the nation of Peru is often labeled as reached by missiologists because of the influence, not of the biblical gospel, but of Roman Catholic tradition. But what does it look like to flood this nation and from there to spread the gospel to all the nations of Latin America? We'll talk about what God is doing in Peru through one of ABWE's faithful missionaries serving there coming up on today's episode. Greetings and welcome to the Missions Show, where we explore your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice to help goers think and thinkers go. I'm Alex Kochman, Director of Communications and Engagement with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, ABWE, joined once again for another deep dive into the cavernous byways that I don't even think make sense. But we're going to do a deep dive into missiology today with, of course, my partner in crime, Scott W. Dunford, pastor of Western Hills Church in San Mateo, California. Thank you for joining us, whether you are watching us or listening in your favorite podcast app. However you found the show, remember that when you leave a positive rating and review in your podcast app, when you subscribe and like on YouTube, or when you simply tell a friend about this, that helps other people not just discover the content. There's all sorts of Christian content out there. There's better Christian content if you just want to be entertained. But if you want to mobilize your friends, your family, perfect strangers, whoever, if you want to mobilize people into the Lord's harvest and get them out there engaged in the Great Commission, making disciples of all the nations, then share this show with them, and we're sure that they'll be encouraged. Scott, today I'm excited. We're talking to an old friend and an ABWE colleague, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah. And I just want to say, aren't you entertained? You know, I'm really excited to have Steve Douglas on our show. I've known Steve for many years, but we got to spend a little bit extra time together in Ecuador a few years ago and just got to really know more about his heart and his family's long history through his wife in South America. And then him, now you've developed your own history as you're, I don't know how many years in ministry you've been in South America, but it's decades. And so, Steve, thanks for joining our show. We're glad to have you not just as a missionary, but now as a missionary leader within ABWE. But talk us a little bit how the Lord led you and your family to Peru, and what were some key turning points along the way and how God was leading and guiding you and directing you even to the place where you are today.
Yeah, well, hi, Alex and Scott. What a blessing to be with you, to have the opportunity to share with other people what God is doing and following his steps, and just praise him and glorify him. God is just working in wonderful ways. It started in our lives, of course. I grew up in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I received the Lord at 9 years of age. Had a blessed church, a home church there that was focused on missions, and that was part of my development as time went by. I think our Sunday church in Pennsylvania gives about 50% of its budget to missions and has missionaries in and a missionary focus. So having received and embraced Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and then growing up in my youth years and having that as my church background and getting to know missionaries and seeing the work and the vision had a huge impact on me. And as time went by, I felt that the Lord was working in my heart. You know, the Lord has a unique plan for every one of us, and there are many mysteries in life, but God has no secrets, and God knows exactly what he wants to do in our lives. So putting together some of my growing up and my background in my home church and putting in my heart just a burden to help people, what would be the best way to help other people? So he led me to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. And that is where I met my wife, the Amazon woman. Debbie had grown up. Debbie was born in Peru, in Iquitos, Peru, the jungle side of Peru, which by the way, celebrating the 25th. Well, recognizing God's hand on the bowers and the shooting down of the Peruvian aircraft 25 years. Debbie was born in Iquitos and grew up there and knew Kevin Donaldson and the bowers and the different missionaries through that whole story. But we met at Baptist Bible College And I met this great Amazon woman, Debbie Bond. Her parents, Don and Viv Bond, were missionaries with ABWE for over 50 years throughout the whole country of Peru. And God just put us together and put in our hearts a burden to consider missions. And so we actually took a mission trip back to Peru, but to a different area of Peru than where Debbie grew up in the Amazon jungle. And God just began to work in our hearts, Scott, little by little. You think about it, we only have one life, right? And what does God want us to do with that life? So as we were at Bible college and made a missions trip back to Peru and began to contemplate that, he just impressed upon our hearts that going back to Peru would be something very unique and special for us. Mm. One concept that has struck me is that we want to leave our unique fingerprints on other people's lives. We know our fingerprints are unique, right? And so we have one life, and God wants us to leave our unique fingerprints on eternal souls for whatever he has for us. So as God was working in our heart and giving us a leading and growing conviction that he wanted us to go back to Peru, that was part of our vision, is as we go back to Peru, we want to leave our unique fingerprints on eternal souls. And I don't think those fingerprints that we leave, all of us leave, will ever be erased. And God will determine the fruit that he wants to leave from those fingerprints. So putting those pieces together, God just led us back to Peru. And now Peru is a big country. So where did we end up? We had heard about the city of Arequipa, in English, Arequipa. Arequipa is the second largest city in the country of Peru. It's a city of 1 million people. And so when we were at Bible college and beyond, and God was beginning to put that leading and conviction in our hearts that this is what he wants us to do. This is where he wants us to invest our lives. He began to lead us towards the city of Arequipa. That city was founded in 1540 by the Spanish invasion and by Jesuit priests. So our city became known as the Little Rome of Peru. Catholicism was stronger in our city than any other city in Peru. Mm. And by the way, the first independent Baptist missionaries that arrived in Arequipa right around 1985. So we're talking about 445 years later, where the gospel really began to pioneer and make inroads into this Little Rome of Peru 445 years later after the founding of the city. So God placed that on our hearts, and some other people, including Debbie's parents, Don and Viv Bond. So Alex and Scott, we're looking to go to a historic, strong religious city where the gospel had not made many inroads, and to pioneer the city. And we're thinking we need a church planting team. Mm-hmm. And so God did something really neat. Some of you may recall that the gospel had been in Iquitos, the jungle area where the Bowers were, the Donaldsons, and Debbie's parents, the Bond, for many years. So when we're talking about forming a church planting team to help pioneer and open up the city of 1 million people, Arequipa, spread the word out among Peru and other missionaries. And so God put a team together, Debbie's parents and us, and two families from Peru, Julio Panduro and Francisco Torres. So God put together this church planting team of two Americans and two Peruvians from the Iquitos area. We go to Arequipa to open up and pioneer this city. And so some of them arrived in 83, 84. We arrived in 1985. And so forming our church planting strategy, and where do we start? The first church and the second church, and mix and matching. And so that's how God led us to Arequipa to pioneer the work there. But one curious thing, we arrived to Arequipa having never seen the city. back in the day, survey trips were not common. And basically today they're required, and they should be. But we arrived to Arequipa by night. So we came over the mountain hill by car, and we saw this city in a big valley. And I said to myself, so this is what a million people looks like. All of these little lights all over the place. And I'm thinking, how many people are represented by every light that we see in Arequipa? And I'm thinking, okay, so this is what a city of a million people looks like. And it was an impacting time as we arrived in the city to begin our work there.
Tell us a little bit about the city where you serve today, what it looks like, obviously being a Roman Catholic stronghold in its history. Now, I'm no expert on Peruvian culture. The extent of my knowledge of Peruvian culture comes from my vast studies in The Emperor's New Groove in the year 2000. But outside of those studies, I know very little of Peruvian culture. But obviously, I would expect that there would be maybe a trend towards some level of cosmopolitanism, secularization, away from maybe this stronghold founded by Jesuit priests. Are you still dealing with very firmly sort of dyed in the wool Roman Catholics who aren't open to hearing maybe what a Protestant and evangelical understanding of the gospel message would entail? Or are you mostly dealing with people that don't think about religion much at all, and you're trying to convince mm-hmm. them to care about the things of God in any respect?
It's amazing being in this city now for just over 40 years from a pioneer work whereby just sharing our testimony, right? Starting the first independent Baptist church. So going from zero independent Baptist churches till today, we have over 70 in the city and the surrounding areas. So God truly has done an amazing thing, albeit in a very, very strong Catholic scenario. The first 10, 15 years, we started one or two churches. It took 15 years to start two or three churches in the early years, as you're saying, a very difficult scenario. And there were things that happened to us in our first year on the field and first couple of years on the field that were very, very discouraging and very, very difficult, even to the point where the local Catholic priest at that time, 40 years ago, was so strong that he contacted the Peruvian FBI and told them that we were leaders of a Davidian type of sect, and therefore we should be deported from the country. We can come back to that if you want. But yes, Alex, 40 years later, the younger generation has largely fallen away from the Catholic Church. I would say 50 years of age and above, still very strong, very traditional, very committed to the local religion. They would say to us, I was born in this religion, I grew up in this religion, and I will die in this religion. And so we are still struggling with that element with the older generation. But the younger generation from 40 and 30 below are disillusioned with the Catholic Church. They think it's antiquated. They think that many traditions and practices that they see today don't make sense. They don't resonate. And so a lot of Peru and even a lot of our stronghold city of Arequipa, the younger generation is falling away from those traditions and the ties to the Catholic Church. So a lot of them are just indifferent. Some of them are just lethargic regarding religion. Some are agnostic. So what that does, though, it opens the door for us to be able to share a little bit more openly than in the first years, where many times we were just shut down. No, we are Catholic, and we give no place to anything that is non-Catholic.
It can be difficult overcoming some of those barriers, and I want to hear more about what that looks like. And I want to hear some stories of how God is at work today. We're going to get into all of that and more when we come back from our break. Hey, listeners, we know you believe in missions. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be listening to or watching this show. But have you ever wondered what your next step with the Great Commission should be? Well, wherever you are with missions, if you're ready to get serious and find what your next step is, ABWE's 24-hour demo event is for you. Now, you can go to demo.abwe.org. Again, that's demo.abwe.org, and use the promo code podcast for a discount on your registration fee. So it takes all excuses away. What are you waiting for? Come find your next step with the Great Commission at demo.abwe.org, promo code podcast.
So we've been talking about what's currently happening in Peru and especially in the cities. And maybe in our overtime episode, we're going to get into a little bit more of some of the syncretism and what's going on in the Amazon region, what's going on in the mountainous regions and in the city, and how the religion of that era, you know, historically and even currently is a mixture of lots of different things. But let's get into some of the specifics, Steve, of your ministry. What are some of the stories that you have seen in your church planting days, and now as you're kind of moving into more regional, not moving into, you've been involved with regional leadership for a number of years now, that you've seen happening? What are some of the stories that just excite you as a missionary?
Well, as we mentioned before the break, all cultures continue to evolve and develop. Our ecosystems are constantly changing, whether it's technology or worldview or whatever. But in the early years, when we were starting the first church, God brought a man to us who had just recently received the Lord. His name was Daniel. And as we began to work with him in this very first church plant, he had such a burden to get involved in the ministry. So we were able to train Daniel over the years of the first church plant. And Daniel became the pastor of that first church plant. We're talking 40 years ago now. And Daniel is still the pastor of that first church that was established in the city of Arequipa. And out of that church, they have 10 daughter works or preaching points. And his own son, known as Junior, was looking to go to China as a missionary, being sent out of that church and the churches in Arequipa in Peru. What happened was, though, India. And in the visa process, India captured that he was a Christian and that there would be some Christian movement. And so they denied him the visa to go to India as a missionary. So he continues here in Arequipa, working with the mother church, with the 10 daughter churches / preaching points. They've developed their own Bible Institute in the church. And so they're impacting people, a church planting, a church fellowship, and just going forward. Just an incredible thing that came out of the early years in the first church plant that we did. Another one was with my dad-in-law, Don Bond. We were able to establish a camp ministry about 40 years ago down in the Pacific Ocean. And so in the early years, there was a young man named Cesar who received the Lord with me at camp. He came back. He grew up in his local church. He was trained. We have now about 3 Bible colleges in Arequipa. It's a city of 1 million, so there's a need. And he trained at another Bible college, and God worked at him in such a way that another church that we were establishing took him on as an Arequipa Peruvian missionary, and he ended up going to Morocco, Africa. And he and another missionary from Lima worked together in Morocco, Africa for many years until finally the government caught up to them and kicked them out. He returned to Arequipa, but his partner from Lima went to Spain, Southern Spain, and is still in Southern Spain, working with the same Muslim population from Morocco in Southern Spain. Another really neat story is Paul came to us as a teenager, as a young man, and he was saved, but just a little bit confused. He came to another church that we were establishing. And Paul then grew up and developed in this other church, and we have a Bible college. Paul began to study in our Bible college, so we're in the Bible college in another church that we were planting, and he met our oldest daughter, Nicole. He ended up stealing our daughter, Nicole. God put them together, and got married and continued forward. And Paul was an apprentice pastor. He was the youth pastor. He was assistant pastor. Now he is the senior pastor of New Life Baptist Church in Arequipa, Peru, that started from scratch with no believers. And that church today now has approximately 300 people attending on Sunday mornings. This church supports approximately 12 Peruvian missionaries that are going around the world. And with our oldest daughter, Nicole, they have two children. An interesting thing, guys, that happened recently, in God's mysterious will, 3 years ago, he permitted Paul to have tongue cancer. Tongue cancer is one of the most aggressive and difficult cancers to treat. So for the last 3 years, Pastor Paul of New Life Baptist Church, a church of about 300 people, supporting approximately 12 Peruvian missionaries, helping two young sister churches get off the ground, been struggling with tongue cancer. About a year and a half ago, we almost lost Paul. It's been a hard road. He had to have surgery, and he lost over a third of the mass of his tongue. So when he went into that surgery, we did not know if he would ever speak again. Would his wife ever hear his voice? Would his two children ever hear their daddy's voice? He's a pastor. He's a key man in our Bible college. He's on our camp committee. He's a conference speaker. But praise God, Paul can speak. There are some difficulties, but Paul can speak. He's still in the ministry. He still has cancer. He's still with treatment, but he is going forward. The vision of the church is going forward. The ministry is going forward. So God has done incredible things in spite of the obstacles that we have faced here. We're seeing a church planting movement in Arequipa, and we're seeing a missions movement from Arequipa, Lima, and Peru by God's grace and power.
Remind me again, because there's so much emphasis right now on like speed and quick hitting ministries and everything happening so fast. Remind me again, how long was your father-in-law serving? How long did your father-in-law serve in Peru?
Yeah, Dan Bond served in Peru over 50 years, moving around the country, helping to pioneer different areas in the country.
And how long have you and your wife been serving?
In June, we'll be celebrating 41 years in Peru.
91 years, and you get the fruit that he's talking about. So I think that's a good thing for us, you know, as we talk about ministry, like, we all want the stories you're sharing of churches planted and Bible colleges and, whoa, Peruvians are now sending missionaries to Morocco and Spain and these places. Like, that would have blown everyone's mind, you know, that we'd have Peruvian missionaries going back to Spain and Morocco. And yet, you know, there's no quick fixes. That's 91 years of ministry to see that kind of fruit. And I just wanted to pause for a second and just praise God for your faithfulness, but also encourage our younger listeners. Alex.
No, I think that's so true. You know, sometimes people in our audience are allergic to the idea of movements. Well, we want movements. We pray for movements, but they don't happen in a microwave. They happen over a career of, you know, long obedience in the same direction, right? Quiet, ordinary faithfulness that isn't always glorious, isn't always glamorous. And that's where I'd like to take things in the few minutes that we have left, Stephen, with you. Where can people serve and plug in today? Because on the one hand, you look at your city, you look at your country, your region, and your regional director role with ABWE, and obviously the fields are white unto harvest. There's great gospel need, but there's also mature local churches, and there's the types of leaders that you're describing that have been raised up locally as well. So it's not a situation where necessarily an American has to come into every context and be kind of the first boots on the ground. We're not talking about the dynamic that we see often in unreached contexts. This is a reached context, but work is needed to further disciple and train and mature the church. So if somebody wanted to serve and maybe even begin a career of service there, what would that look like? And we have to keep our answer a little bit short here. We're running out of time, but sketch that vision out, because I don't want people to get the sense that, hey, the work here is done.
There's some key things that we need to understand. South America is not a reached field. If we have 10%, 12% evangelicals, up to 15% evangelicals in different countries, how many of them would be people who have truly embraced Jesus Christ as their Savior? Because evangelicals in our context include everybody who's non-Catholic. So would it be 5% in some of our countries that are true believers? And there are many pockets in all of our countries that are pioneer fields where the gospel is not reached yet. But beyond that, are you interested in teamwork? Are you interested in partnering? We partner daily in the trenches with our local teammates and other missionaries. And so what we need to do is we need to strengthen the foundation that has been laid. And we need to do that through partnering with and under them. And we need to help train them in the areas that they need training. And what we want to do is we want to facilitate and empower the national church to train leaders, form new churches, and send missionaries around the world. And so we need people who come down with not a lone ranger mentality, who want to teammate and partner with us and help train, facilitate, and empower the local foundation that we have. Our vision is that Peru will be an epicenter for worldwide missions, an earthquake epicenter for worldwide missions. Our vision is that South America will be a launching pad for worldwide missions. But we need teammates that will come down and help us work with them and train them, facilitate and empower them to build on this foundation and have a trampoline to the world. This is what we need.
I love that metaphor, trampoline to the world. And there's places that some of the Latin American sent missionaries can go that oftentimes American, you know, WASPy sort of missionaries can't go as easily. There are certain cultural divides that are easier to bridge culturally, linguistically, even ethnically. And we should not sort of relegate ourselves to sitting on the sidelines, but rather we should seek to partner with churches in Peru and throughout Latin America to see how can we work together to extend the gospel in our context, in your context, Steve, but also then to the ends of the earth. And so incredibly grateful for your service. Where would you encourage people to go to find out more? Obviously, they can go to the ABWE website. There's opportunities to serve there. But if they want to follow you, contact you, learn more about your ministry, where should they go?
Help us continue to reach South America and help us to empower the local churches to send missionaries around the world. We have a single nurse from Lima that's working in Iraq, and we have other examples, but man, we're just at the cuspice, and we want to just see this explode. So yeah, through ABWE, you can contact me, and I can leave my information with you guys, and let us share our vision and burden. If God, wherever God has you, leave your fingerprint, your unique fingerprint. And if you can help us leave fingerprints on our local teammates so that they can go around the world, come, let us engage in the dialogue.
Yeah, of course, we'll have your information, your contact info in the show notes. And if you're watching, we will put the information on where you go right here at the bottom of the screen. But Stephen, thank you for being with us today. And we certainly pray with you and echo your desire that we would see Peru and all of Latin America flooded with the gospel as the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the seas. Habakkuk 2:14, that's what we're praying for here at ABWE. And if you want to learn more about ABWE in general and take your next step, simply go to abwe.org. If you want to get more content from this show, including our bonus conversation, we do want to talk about the problem of syncretism in parts of Latin America and what that looks like when tribal religion mixes with Roman Catholic tradition, mixes with half gospel truths that come and yet don't bear fruit fully, don't plant the roots down deep. And so it takes a lot of missiological precision to cut through some of that worldview noise. And that's what we're going to That's what we're going to discuss in our bonus segment. And so if you join us at missionsshow.com/premium, we'll get you access to that. And you can join us for our overtime segment. But for now, from all of us here at ABWE, thank you for joining us. Go make disciples of all the nations.